Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This weekend, we celebrate all saints. We celebrate all the saints who have gone before us and are now in heaven. They have moved from the church militant to the church triumphant. There is one holy Christian church, but there are two separate divisions of this mighty army. There is the church militant, which is all of us, those here on the front lines of the battle here on earth. And then there are those who are the church triumphant, who are home in heaven, safe, at rest, and at peace with the Lord. What I want to share with you today are some characteristics of the church militant and the church triumphant. Some things that are similar and some things that are different. Starting with number one, the church militant is in the battle. The church triumphant is, well, triumphant, as you might expect. We are in a battle against the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Ephesians 6:10 tells us, as the church militant, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We are in a battle against the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And while we're in this world, we have a battle to fight and a mission to accomplish. We are on the front lines of the spiritual war between God and the devils. Now, being on the front lines is not easy. It is difficult and it is hard. But that's where we are at. We are part of the church militant. Now, the church triumphant is triumphant. That's the kind of deep analysis of the scriptures you come to church here at, come to church for, right? The church triumphant is already enjoying the victory. You see, although there is a battle still going on, the war has already been won. Jesus Christ has already won the victory through his death and through his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This victory was not won by human beings. It was won by Jesus Christ, by dying on the cross and by rising again from the dead. In that sense, the war is already over. Jesus Christ has won the victory. But that being said, we are still in the battle. The church triumphant is already enjoying the peace and the other blessings of the victory that Jesus has won. When someone dies, it's not the end of their life. It is a transition from the church militant to the church triumphant. It's not the end of their life. It's a promotion. They are, well, in a better sense, returning home from the front lines to their true homeland, which is heaven, and to their true family, which is their family in heaven. The second distinction, the second difference, is that the church militant is invisible. The church triumphant is innumerable. What do I mean by the church militant is invisible? Well, it's impossible to know how large the church is, the church here on earth. The reason it's impossible is because the church on earth is invisible. The marks of the church, the rightly preached word of God and sacraments, are visible, and the church is always there where the word is preached and the sacraments are rightly administered. But membership in the true church of God is a matter of faith in Christ Jesus. And as such, we can't see in people's hearts. Therefore, we don't know for sure how large the church on earth is just by looking at it. The church in heaven, the church triumphant, is innumerable. When John was given his vision of heaven in Revelation, there was a great multitude that no one could number. Revelation 7, verse 9 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes and people and languages. standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. You see, the vast majority of the church is already in the church triumphant. They were from every nation, and they are from every tribe, they're from every people, they're from every language. The church is truly universal. They're clothed with white robes, which means they're covered with the righteousness of Christ. This, of course, is a reminder of our baptism. At our baptism, God clothes us with Christ's righteousness. Galatians 3:27 says, "All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Number three, the church militant endures suffering. The church triumphant enjoys paradise. Revelation 7 gives John's picture of the church triumphant. And not only does he say a great multitude that no one can number, not only are they clothed in white robes, Revelation describes them as those who have come from the great tribulation. Tribulation means trouble or problems. And that is how the world we live in is described. Life in this world is the great tribulation. Being on the front lines of the spiritual war is full of suffering and pain. The devil is always attacking us physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. He never lets up. He is always attacking the church. And of course, the world persecutes us. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." And in our gospel lesson today, the Beatitudes, he concludes the Beatitudes this way: "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 12. So persecution is part of our lot in life here on earth. The devil's going to attack us. The world is going to persecute you. What does the church militant do? The church militant endures. It endures the hardship. It endures the great tribulation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Endure hardship with us as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." We must endure hardship. That is the role of the church here on earth. But that's not what is happening with the church triumphant. The church militant endures suffering. The church triumphant enjoys paradise. Revelation 7, verse 16 says, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat." For the church triumphant, the battle is over. The victory has been won. They are enjoying paradise with the Lord. This happens immediately after death. Immediately after death, the believer enters into paradise to be with the Lord. Jesus promised the thief on the cross, "Today I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23, verse 43. So, paradise is the place where there is no more hunger or thirst or pain or suffering or death. The old order of things has passed away. Suffering is caused by sin. The reason we all suffer is because all of us have sinned. But Jesus came to deliver us from sin. There is no sin in heaven, and therefore there is no suffering either. For those in the church triumphant, there is no longer any suffering. There is only the peace and the calm of paradise the blessed. Their battle is over. They are enjoying the rest that Jesus Christ has won for them. Revelation 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labors." The church triumphant is at rest. Number four, the church militant. Well, the church militant is on a temporary mission. The church triumphant is enjoying eternal glory. Romans 8 verse 18 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That is a clear distinction. The first part talks about the church militant. The second part talks about the church triumphant. And thankfully, our time here on earth is short. It is just a few decades. While we are here, we are on the front lines, and that is a hard place to be. And, of course, the reason we are here is that we are here on a mission. What kind of mission? Well, a rescue mission. Jesus is in the mission of rescuing sinners from death and from hell. And he calls you and I to be part of that mission. We serve our Lord and Captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, on this battlefield called Earth, sharing the good news of salvation that Jesus Christ has won the victory through his death and through his resurrection. But God, in his mercy, does not allow us to stay too long on this battlefield. After a few short decades that fly by quickly, trust me, he will call us home. We will be transferred from the church militant to the church triumphant. We will leave this world of suffering and pain and enter into eternal glory. As 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, these light and momentary afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The Bible makes it clear that when we compare these light and momentary troubles to the eternal weight of glory, they are not even worth comparing. The glory that awaits us far outstrips the momentary troubles, the momentary difficulties that we have to endure right now. In our church today are the banners, and on those banners are written names of saints, loved ones who have gone ahead of us into heaven, those who have entered the church triumphant. When we look at the banners with the names of those saints who have gone before us into glory, we know that what they are experiencing now is far greater and far more glorious than anything we have experienced here on earth. Those names on the banners, along with all the saints who have gone ahead of us, are experiencing the glory that is beyond all comparison. Or, as our opening hymn put it, O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Alleluia, alleluia. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. How true that is. And that is why on number five, we can sing for joy. The church militant sings for joy, and the church triumphant sings for joy as well. Even while we're here on earth on the front lines, we have reason to sing with joy in our hearts. Psalm 34 says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. You know, the church triumphant right now is gathered around the throne of God singing joyful praises to our Lord. And we also join them in their joyful songs. I love the hymns we sing on All Saints Day, hymns of joy and victory, of the peace and blessedness that is there in heaven. We sing those songs of joy because Jesus Christ has won the victory. And even though we are in the midst of the battle, the outcome has already been decided. The victory is already assured. But we sing those songs of joy, we don't sing them alone. We sing them with all the saints. Saints all over the earth, and the saints and angels in heaven. Over and over again, when heaven is pictured, we see saints and angels giving glory and praise, singing for joy before the throne of God, as in Revelation 7, verse 12. Amen. blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We have glimpses of that joy here on earth, but for the saints in the church triumphant, that joy is a constant experience that never goes away. That's why the Bible always pictures them in heaven as singing. They are full of joy. And that's why in a few minutes, we will sing and join our voices with them. As we say in the communion liturgy, with angels and archangels and all the hosts of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.